Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of God. Bless His wonderful. For truly God is worthy to praise, worthy of all the honor. He's worthy, people of God. God is worthy. Rabba Sheto Roboshe. Rabba Bashaka Roboshe. Yes, thank you. Glory to your master. God. Well, once on Saturday with the Word, not just a word, but the Word. And we are excited and delighted about on this prophecy. Show you one. We're going to be talking about that. A lot of we don't really know how the prophetic connect works. But we pray all that are on the line that you don't remember. So I'm telling you, because it's great. Our God is so going to live lines for the God is doing a thing. It's time for a revivalist step. But stop. And we know, Lord God, that even right now, we understand, Father, that it is all about the kingdom. We understand, Lord God, that we should sold out. Father, we just want you to be Lord of our life. We ask you, Lord God, to give us what we need to say. Take us where we need to go, Lord God. And we're willing, Father, to use by you. So, Father, I ask you right now that you would take those that are on the line, Father God, cover them with the blood of God. Cover their families. Cover their thoughts, God. Cover everything about them, Father, so that we all may move into a realm, Father, that the enemy cannot penetrate. So, Father, I ask you as I go forth with the prophetic connection tonight, God, that you would cover me, Father, with the blood of Jesus. Keep me covered. Hide me behind the cross. You, Father, as I open my mouth, Father, I ask you to penetrate hell with your words and comfort me, find peace. Oh, Father, the wonderful Father, for he's Lord. The Lord, oh yeah, we just praise him this evening on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon, evening, for that matter. I'm just going to clear the link. And, you know, it's not by accident that you see so many things in place. And we can't blame everything on the enemy. Some things God is trying to shift around. He said every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What are we going to ask God fill this with this word, to fill this place, create in us clean hearts, and renew the right spirit with us. Well, as we get prepared to go forth, again, we're going to be talking about the prophetic connection. Where did it start? Where did it come from? Tell me. Well, I'm so glad. Well, I'm going to just play a portion of a song. And then I'll be right. Stay with me.
Thank you.
about him is holy. Just tell him that he's holy. Rabbi, de Toroboshi. Tell him that he's holy. Enter into his presence next to him. For he's holy. He's back to holy. Holy. Yes, holy. We just want to take you there into the bed. You know, it's sort of like when you go into that worship, then you begin to go behind into the holies of holies. It's like you forget all about yourself. And all you hear is the angel calling God, holy, holy, holy. Yes. And I'll tell you one thing about him. If you praise him, if you worship him in spirit and in truth, you can shift any atmosphere. You can create that atmosphere. And that's what it's all about. You are an atmosphere creator. That's what you are. Yes. Well, we're going to get into the words, you know. I love worship. I love being in the presence. I love being in the presence. I'll tell you, we just run to the rock and get renewed. We run to the rock, we get refreshed. We run to the rock and we get restored. And I'll tell you, when we leave his presence, we don't back us. Think about Moses. When Moses left the presence of God, Moses' whole life, it changed. Our life does not be the same. You know, we go to church, we go to Bible class and some. We go to Sunday school, and we give a few hours every month in church. It's not enough. It's not enough for the pastor. It's not enough for the king. The king of glory, he's asking for more. Yes, he's asking for more. So we just pray that we get ready to talk about the prophetic connection. You know, there's a connection between being an intercessor and being prophetically engaged. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. See, perhaps, you know, as I really went into meditation, and I came to this understanding. You know, maybe it's because intercessors, we spend so much time with God. And being prophetically in the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you asked. It's in the Word. You can turn to Revelation. I believe it's Revelation 12, I believe. So let me give you the exact scripture. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. When I first read that scripture, I was taken away. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Wow. This is exact. Revelation 12. And I hope you have your Bibles out. Okay. I'm sorry. Revelation 9. Revelation 9. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Get back to the lesson. As an intercessor, and as we spend so much time with God, so much time in touch, God begins to speak. And when we begin to hear God's voice, we don't be twisted. We don't be running tangents, going this way and that way, not knowing, was that God, or did he say this, or should I do that, or which way should I go? No, we don't do that. Because we make our calling and our effectiveness sure. When we are in God's presence, he confirms some things in our spirit. And when we spend so much time with God, it's almost like a relationship that we have that's a tangible one. The lines of communication are open. And it's open with him that when we begin to pray, we'll pray his word, because we get to know his word by praying, because we pray the scripture. So you just take the Bible out, turn to your favorite scripture, begin to pray the scripture. Now you're praying God's word. You're actually praying his heart. You're praying what moves him. And sometimes, now, some intercessors are more prophetically inclined in nature than others, but it doesn't make a difference. See, it does not necessarily make them better intercessors, or they can pray better than you. No, that's not in the plan. But you can be a very effective intercessor, even if you do not operate as dramatically in the prophetic gift as someone else. But you can't compare yourself. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. But it could be that you are really experiencing some prophetic thing, and you're not realizing. And you might be in a ministry where they may not be teaching, and something's happened to you, and you don't know what it is. Well, you kind of know what's going on, but you're not real, real sure, because some things are new, and you know that it's real, and you know that it's happened to you. So can't nobody tell you that that's nothing, because you know that it's something, because your life is. Because now you're hearing God's voice, and you're feeling that pull. You're feeling that uncle, and you know that your life is not pulled. So that prophetic gift is being pulled on. It's being pulled on. And you are not really realizing that God is calling you to a higher calling. The Bible says that much is required. So there is much more required of you. Sometimes you can be in a ministry and the anointing is not being pulled on. It's not being shaken. So you come to church and you just sit there and you're not emptying out. You get a lot of words being pulled on. You're not emptying out because you hear the voice of God. You know the voice of God, but you're not getting a chance to release the voice of God. I'll tell you, it's something when you press into the presence of God and God starts speaking to you and you got to hold it still. He'll make room for your gift. God will make room for your gift, and we're talking about the prophetic connection. Prophetic connection. See, there's many facets of the prophetic. You know, for many years, I didn't understand. And I often felt a little frustrated. I was never taught to be an intercessor, and especially a prophetic intercessor. I was never taught that. I was told it's not taught, it's caught. So you come around prophetic people, and then you catch it. It's contagious. You go back, now you won't be the same. But I didn't understand this, and I was told that I was supposed to be receiving directional words from my pastor and the church body. But, you know, it seemed to be implied that if I did receive those words, that I wasn't doing my job. I looked around, and I saw other intercessors operating in those directional words, like visions and prophetic exhortations, you know, and et cetera. But, and then, you know, I didn't want to compare myself with them, but I knew that what they were speaking and doing was beyond the scope of anything that I had ever experienced. And you know what? It seemed like I wanted more. And not disregard the ministry that I was in. Because I thank God for, you know, I thank God that he used me and he used the pastor I had at the time. God bless to pour into me, to get me to that place that I was in. So, you know, one soul, one water, and God gives the increase. But I was feeling something different. And so I realized that I had this desire to hear straight from heaven. I wanted more. And it wasn't taken away from the man of God that sold him. It was really added to him. Because that's what we should do. We sow into other people. And they should bloom. They should fly. They should soar. They should be encouraged to do more than what they're doing. So it's a spiritual impartation that I embrace that caused me to want more of God. So as an intercessor, I knew that I had to get in God's presence to begin to hear him. What was I going to do when I hear God saying, and I hear a leadership saying, don't do, but I hear God saying, do? Well, I was there, I heard the Lord say, be still and know that I'm God. So God's not going to lead you where there's confusion. He's not going to lead you where you are confused. So he was teaching me some things, but my time had not yet come. I knew that I had to stay in my faith. And I had to pray. And I had to get God's direction. And I had to hear his voice. And I had to know what he wanted me to do. Because I wanted to hear him close. And it's a powerful thing because it seems that the more I stayed in God's presence, the more he kept speaking to me. And I knew that what he was speaking was what I needed to hear. And some of what I was seeing the other intercessors do, it was looking a little scary to me. You know, I was like, Lord, have mercy. You know, don't take all that. But they was moving their hands and kicking their feet and, quarter-a-bashi. And, you know, it was kind of a little scary. I was like, good Lord. But I knew that they were provoking change. And it was working together for the good. So what I began to do is I laid before the Lord. And all you're getting, get an understanding. I was trying to get an understanding. And when I lay before the Lord told me that you are a prophetic intercessor. And, you know, God gives you things in part. But then he told me I was a prophet, I probably would have had a relapse. But he told me I was a prophetic intercessor. I didn't know what that was. But I knew that I heard the voice of God. And I received it in my spirit. And then I began to say that thy will be done. So I dug my heels in. And I began to say, I am a prophetic intercessor. But I'm not going to be like the rest of them. That's what I was saying. I'm not going to do all that crazy stuff that I felt was crazy at the time. And they can. I was just thinking they can try all they want to try to make me like them, but it's not going to work. And part of what I was so resistant of was the fear of doing and saying the weird thing. Quarter of bullshit that God tell you to say. But see, most of the intercessors I knew, they were not weird. But of course, the one that I was becoming close with, she was weird. She was really weird. But she was so in tune. She was so in tune to the things of the... I mean, just out me. You know, sometimes intercessors, we can be out there. But I had my eyes on me. And I already, at this time, I had found out that God had gave me the niche to transfer that anointing. But I had not received it yet. But it was released from the heavens. I'm watching them, and, you know, I said, okay, Lord, you know, teach me more. Teach me more. And, you know, I'm first then I start dealing with what's prophetic. I'm not prophetic. You know, and I had to learn the definition of the prophetic. It was very narrow. I mean, I didn't know. You know, I just didn't know. I asked God for revelation. You know, I asked him, Lord, teach about this prophetic connection. You know, teach more because where I'm at, there's a spiritual unrest. Rabbi, things start getting hard. You know, and things just... I just started to a son of a pure son. And I was trying to connect that. Well, you know, I'm a daughter. You know, I'm a female. How could you call me a son? You know, it is me. There's no male nor female in spirit. And I had to learn how to embrace that thing. I had to learn how to embrace the things of prophetic were not necessarily things that I see with my eyes. But I receive it in my spirit, and I walk in. Because, see, I feed my spirit man. So I had to learn to feed my spirit man Because when you feed your spirit man will take precedence over your flesh and over your thoughts and over everything that you do and say. Your spirit will begin to rule, because guess what? Whatever you feed will become the strongest. If you feed the flesh will rule. If you feed the spirit man, the spirit man shall rule. So whatever you feed, it's almost like exercising muscles. Whatever muscle you exercise, that muscle going to be toned up. That muscle will be strengthened and strong. So it's the same that goes with the spirit and the flesh, the body, the mind. Whatever you feed, what you're looking for is what you're going to get. Yes, yes, yes. Let's go on with the lesson. You know, I knew that I was hearing certain things, and so I said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm gonna wait on you, and I'm going to get this spiritual insight about this prophetic anointing that you keep on telling me about. And I wanted to have it, I wanted to clearly hear God. And then I heard God tell me, I heard him speak, and he began to tell me. And sometimes when he would speak, I just knew. When people would say certain things, like I just knew. You know, because I could begin to see things. I was seeing things and I was hearing things. And you know what? It might sound so strange, but I began to smell things, sense things. You know, I began to smell the aroma of death. Rabbi, I knew when I had to go to war. I knew when I had to cause the enemy to take his hands off of somebody's life. So it wasn't taught, it was caught. But there's a spiritual prophetic activation that can be taught where the gift is pulled on. The gift is stretched. And they call that prophetic activation. It's not teaching you the prophetic, but it's pulling on the anointing. Rabbi Shotoro Boshe. If you got something that's already there and it's dormant and nobody's watering it and the sun is not shining on it, how can it grow? Because it's going to take some rain. It's going to take Rabbi Shoto. It's going to take the sun. It's going to take fertilizer. That's that prophetic activation. I'm telling you, people, God, it is so good when you're at that place, when you could just run straight to the rock. You don't have to worry your pastor. You know, you just don't have to worry him, because you can run to the rock and get it yourself. And then while you're there, you can lift up the words of prayer for you, for the man or woman of God. And you not only... You become an asset, not a liability. Which one are you? You know, I want to be a plus, an addition to the solution. You know, I want to walk in a way where the pastor can come to me and say, well, what do you think about this? Or what do you hear God saying? You know, that's what I'm talking about. Then you're adding to the kingdom. You know, pastors have a lot of burdens that they have to deal with, and they need you as an intercessor to bear them up on every side. You're on your face, you're on the wall, and when the enemy try to come in, you know, you're right there, and you're the watchman. And you see him coming, and guess what? You just chop his head off. You chop it off in the field. You crush him. He can't go further, because guess what? You already killed it. Because you're the watchman and you're in the watchtower. You're watching. Yes, it's almost like a military camp. You know, they up there, they looking, they watching, they making sure that the enemy can't come close. Well, that's your job as a prophetic intercessor. Because guess what? You can sound the alarm, warn the people. tell them what God is saying, what you see, what you're hearing, in the name of Jesus. See, as an intercessor, we can pray. And prayer has two sides. Monologue, dialogue. You talk, God talks. Or it may even start off, you go before the Lord and he won't even let you talk. God will talk. Listen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God just bless God. And you know, when you begin to see spiritual things, and it could be an evil force, you know, things like, you know, whether maybe somebody was behaving in a particular way, and because he or she had been affected by an evil spirit, and you see it, you see the change in them, you know, and when you see that, and you want to discern what spirit it is you're dealing with. No, you can't play with no demons. You can't pat them. No, you can't mess around with them. You have to crush. You have to demolish them. You have to recognize what spirit it is. And then, you know, God will give you the insight about what's going on with that person. Prophetic. I mean, he'll even show you things that's going to happen in the future. You know, I like to say, he'll show you what's going to be on the morning paper. Yes, he will. And you don't have to be a prophet. You have a prophetic anointing on you. You hang around prophets. You hang around prophets. You hang around apostolic people. Get somebody in your life that can pour into you, that care about you, that care about your vision, your mission that God has given you. You know, you embrace those type of people. Let them be mentors to you. Let them sow in your life. Rabbi, show Torah Boshe. And again, you keep them lifted up in prayer. And you sow into their lives. You sow into their lives. I'm telling you, this is how God has orchestrated the kingdom. The kingdom of God. But as I was saying, that, you know, occasionally you're going to have an insight about what's happening, what's going to, what God is telling you about a person. And, you know, sometimes you just know it. And sometimes you just, God will release revelation. I'm going to use scriptures because guess what? It's all scripture-based. And I'm going to tell you, it's a deep thing because you'll find yourself groaning in the spirit. Turn to Romans 8 and 26. You know, this is one of the deepest form of intersection. And it takes work. It's a physical groan. Sometimes it's an outward physical groan, you know, that takes place. And I'll tell you what, while it'll bring a huge blessing, a huge need for the throne. You groan. There's something that's needed. Ah, go about groan with sounds that you don't even know what you're saying. And sometimes it's all about the inside coming up and out. What's inside? So that's what no one else can guess what you're saying. It's either in either case it's a stimulus, exhausting prayer. And that's that prevailing you. It's a prayer that prevails. Romans 8 and 26, it talks about, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Okay, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Listen to this. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Now, when Jesus ascended, when he went to heaven, what did he say? He said, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. He's going to come. And he's going to lead, guide, and direct you. And he's going to dwell with you. See, the Holy Spirit will dwell with you. He'll live inside of you. He said, I will not dwell in an unclean temple. So, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. So the Spirit is dwelling with you, and he's making intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. And you know, some teaching insists that this scripture is talking about praying in tongues. But it's not. It's literally referring to groaning. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. You know, just say, for instance, you get that call that one of your children are in trouble. You know, you're not going to start saying, you might start rebuking some things. But there's a groaning that will come out of your belly. And it might be, Lord, you know, it might be something like that. But it's that Spirit inside of you, the Spirit of God. That's coming up and out. You might scream, you might yell, you might holler. And you might keep going. Like that groaning. That's what God wants. He wants us to get out of ourselves. Groan. See, that's that prophetic connection. Because, see, that's when you connect with the Spirit. You know, we got to connect. So we have to get out of ourselves and connect with the Spirit of God that's living inside of us. Because God is a spirit. And the Bible says that those that worship him must worship him, what? In spirit and in truth. So we can't come with a shape, form, or fashion. We just come just as we are. We just keep it real. So when it comes to our children and even family members, that groaning will come out. You hear some bad news. You start to rebel and you start going there. You know, sometimes when you're praying for someone or someone may ask you to pray for them and you immediately know what the root of the problem is when you're walking with a prophetic anointing. They might say one thing, and God might give you a revelation of what the real problem is and how he want to fix it. Or you instantly know that an evil spirit is behind the problem. And these are the words. This is called word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. So, then, except in that is what? The word of wisdom and discerning the spirit. So the word of knowledge is what when you immediately know the root of the problem. And then how God's going to fix it? The word of wisdom. And then when I said about you might instantly know that the evil spirit is behind the problem, that's the discernment of spirit. And that's mentioned in, I believe, that's 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 8, and then again in verse 10. And you can turn to that if you like. But those are the scriptures that talk about it. And I only mentioned a few of prophetic experience that you may encounter. But, you know, when you tap into the prophetic anointing, the prophetic connection, things begin to change for you because you're able to hear God. You're able to to say, yes, I have a prophetic anointing on you. You know, you might not say you're a prophet, because you may not be one, but you can have a prophetic grace on you. That when you, and some people say, you know, I don't know how, but I just do. Or you know, I'm feeling something. You know, they might say different things, but it's the prophetic anointing that God has released upon you. So if you're in a ministry where they're not teaching prophetic teaching, because all prophetic is hearing the voice of God, knowing what God is saying, knowing how to connect with the things of God, knowing His way, knowing His will. That's all it is. It's nothing spooky. It's nothing scary. You know, it's just that, you know, when the man of God or the woman of God is preaching, they're just releasing the voice of God to you. So you are milk as a baby, and then you start growing up, and then you can chop on some meat. So you are being poured into by your pastor, your leadership, so that you can grow up, and then you can duplicate. And you know, no, everybody's not a preacher. Everybody's not a prophet, apostle, teacher, evangelist. No, everybody's not. But guess what? You're something. I mean, you should be doing something. You should be teaching. You should be doing something. Because the laborers are few. But the harvest is so much to do. You know, and our days are numbered. So we need to tap in to know what God would have us be doing, to know the purpose and the reason why we're here. It's all about the kingdom, people of God. You know, we're having a prophetic conference in the Detroit, Michigan area. And it's going to be next week on the, I believe it's the 25th, 26th, and 27th. And I'll tell you one thing. You don't want to miss it. If you are in the Detroit, Michigan area, we're going to be there, and we're going to be at 25100 Northwestern Highway, and that's in Southfield, Michigan, a prophetic intercessor conference. Kingdom Daughters present Renewed, Restored, and Refreshed by the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, it's going to be an awesome time. And we're going to be talking about some of the class, the power of your prayer language, worship and the intercessor, developing a prophetic guard. Rabbi, so I'm excited, I'll tell you, you know, to intimacy with God. That's a class that we have. And also, from religion to relationship, you know, it's time out for just religion. We need a relationship. We need to be intimate with God. We can't just wait for Sunday to get a word. We need to be able to go and get a word ourselves. Oh, yes. That is the word. See, God has no respecter of person. Will you come? That's all He's saying. Will you come? See, God got a method. He prepares us to receive the truth. And then guess what? After He prepare us, we become a product. A product to spread the message. And then God give us a place. Rabbi Joto Raboshe. A place to perpetuate the plan. See, the Lord will raise up a man or woman with a message and a ministry that produce a movement. And that and it will fulfill the will of God. I'm telling you, this is an exciting time. When you see all these things happening, you know, and an enemy, you know, putting bombs and doing things, it just it should make you as an intercessor. Get on the wall. Because we're not on our job, the enemy is running rampant. But the time has come for all things to be done. See, the word says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, let all things be done decently in order. See, we need to be in order right now. We need to be on the wall. We need to be decreeing a thing and it shall be established. We need to connect ourselves with people that care about you so they can push you out in the spirit realm and cause you to walk in your purpose, in your assignment. Kingdom Daughters intercessors, are the intercessory prayer warriors. I call them spiritual bulldogs. Rabba Shoto Robo Shte. We are the bread of kingdom builders. Kingdom builders have been assigned and sent by God to build up God's people. To build up God's people. And as we build up God's people, I'll tell you, the people of God will be the army marching. And it will trickle from here to there. And before you know it, God's army is taking the streets back. So it's time to take back God's streets. It's time to take back what the enemy has stolen. It's time to rise up. It's time. It's time to get out of those beach chairs. It's time to take those sunglasses off. It's time. It's time. You know, we keep hearing about all these tragedies, but it's time for triumph. And that takes me back on Thursday, the first night of the conference. We're going to be having a prophetic play, Rabba Shotoro Boshe. And the play is it's a dinner theater. Glory to God. In this play, it's going to be true testimony that's going to be portrayed and how God brought them out. We have one woman that was shot 23 times. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's going to tell her story. We got so many good testimonies that's coming forth. And then we're going to have a time of worship. And then after we have worship, we're going to have fellowship and fun. I'll tell you, you know, that's why we have to be balanced. It's not always church and no, I want to say relaxation. You know, as the saints of God, we're going to begin to sit back and commune and fellowship with one another. And then we have a beautiful dinner that's going to be served. We have a caterer that's coming in, and Sister Carolyn Brown, she has an awesome catering service. I mean, the best in town. She's going to cater us a beautiful meal. So we're going to get fed spiritually. We're going to fellowship. And then we're going to feed this flesh with some good food. I'll tell you. And it's going to be the kickoff for the conference. So we pray that you are able, if you're in the Detroit, Michigan area, come on now. Come on and join us, because this is a clarion call. This is a gathering where God is raising up some people. There's going to be some healing, some miracles, some signs and wonders. On Friday night, we're going to have warfare. And we're going to be, prophecy is going to be going forth. And we're going to be having some deliverance done on Friday evening. Classes are during the day. And then on Saturday, we're going to have an awesome time with the woman of God, Pastor Garrett, Minister Garrett of a ministry in Detroit, Michigan. He's going to come forth with a powerful word on Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. It's going to be an awesome time. And also, we are going to have praise dancers and worshipers and prophetic dancers. And I'll tell you, prophetic psalmist coming forth. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. And if you are interested in coming to the conference, you can go to our website, which is kingdombuildersplatz.org. And you can browse the site and you can register, or you can go to Eventbrite. That's E-V-E-N-T Brite, Brite.com, and you can type in Kingdom Daughters or Kingdom Builders, and they'll ask you for the location at Southfield, Michigan. Again, at Southfield, Michigan. And you can register for the conference. You can register for the dinner theater. You can register at the hotel by calling. We have some beautiful suites with breakfast included in the morning, a full breakfast. The suites have a full kitchen. You can call area code 248-350-2400 and register for your room. The room, the suites are $79. Can you believe that? $79 for these beautiful suites. So for about $150, you'll be there for both nights. I'm sorry, let me do the math. We're going to say under $200. You get two nights. And I'll tell you, we are really looking forward to an awesome time. The prophetic connection, prophetic intercession. The prophetic connection is an awesome connection because it takes you into the supernatural. But God put some super on your natural. Don't you want some super on your natural? It changed my life. It changed my desires. It changed who I am. I'm at a place of peace. So when the enemy come, to try to eat up my flesh, I'll tell you, I just raise up the standard. I just go above him. You know, you go higher than the enemy where he can't even get to you. See, the Bible said we're seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So spiritually, in our mind and spirit, we have to be so elevated above the enemy that he can't even come near us. See, we're like eagles. We soar high. So many things happening, and there are small things. We can't sweat them. We cannot sweat the small things. I'm telling you. Get connected with the prophetic connection. I'll tell you, get connected with the prophetic connection. If you want to join in with us, you can call us. We have an early morning prayer call. 5-6 days a week at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. Central Time. We are on the line, prophetic intercession. You can call area code 218-895-0280. And just type in the word pray and enter into the prayer room. The word pray, 7729. We're there waiting to pray for you, waiting to get in the faith fight with you, waiting for the manifestation of God's hand, waiting to watch God move on your behalf. So we call forth those angels with swords of fire in the hand. We believe it. He gave angels. He gave them charge over us. They have to watch over us. But we have to call them forth. Can't you see those angels? They right on the side of you, and you haven't even sent them out to do the work. You tell them, go get my stuff. You send them out there. Send them. North, south, east, and west. Call in the wind from the north, south, east, and west. You know, call it in, the anointing of God. I'll tell you, God is awesome. And if you want to hear more about the prophetic connection, join us for the conference. Join us. And if you would like to get the conference teaching and you're not able to come, we will be able to offer that to you. You can, again, go to Eventbrite. And we would have that posted up there where you can order the class. You'll be able to order the teaching. And you can get the whole set of teaching. We got some awesome classes, I'll tell you. And I am truly excited about the teachers and how God has sent things. We're also going to have prophetic activation. You know, everyone that comes, we're going to activate their gift with prayer. We're going to lay hands on them. And we're going to provoke them to do what God has unctioned and called them to do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I'll tell you one thing. The prophetic connection is a connection that we all need. Everyone needs to be connected with a person that has an anointing of a prophet, as an apostle, an evangelist, a teacher, and a pastor. The fivefold. You need to be connected. And I want to even say a rabbi. Rabbi, Shoto Roboshe. Connect yourself with people that are sold out for God. Connect yourself with people that love God and want to pour into you, that love you. And I'll tell you, I just heard the Holy Spirit say this. If you are looking for a mentor, come on, we're welcome. We're welcome. If you want to be birthed out in the Spirit, come on, give us a call. You can contact us at 312-574-0212. Again, that number is 312-574-0212. We'll be more than happy to embrace you. We'll be more than happy to just love on you. Oh, yes. We have a sisterhood, a brotherhood. Oh, yes. You don't have to be in church abused and misused. You don't have to go through that. Sometimes God is functioning in a way to push you into the place where he wants you to be. So you can feel free to give us a call. This is Prophetess Teresa Dot. And if you want to contact us on Facebook, you can go to just type my name in, and it'll come up. Send me an inbox, and I'll respond. You can go to Kingdom Daughters Intercessor on Facebook. Someone will respond. And guess what? We're even on Instagram. Hallelujah. You can go on Instagram and type in T-Angel. That will be me. T-Angel 7. That's T-E-A-N-G-E-L 7. Yes, I'm on Instagram. Twitter and all those other things. I'll tell you, I'm excited about the Lord. I'm truly excited. And I want you to be excited about what God is doing. Amen and glory to God. Well, and on tonight, you can go to the archive and you can listen to the broadcast. And you can send us an email. Give us a call. We'll be more than happy to touch base with you. And before I end the broadcast, I just want to remind you that God loves you. And there's no good thing that he will withhold from you if you walk upright. If you walk upright, the blessings of the Lord make it rich and add it no sorrow. So if there's sorrow in your life, look for the blessing. Because he said he makes it rich and add it no sorrow. So we have to make the right choice. Amen. And glory to God. I want to ask if there's anyone on the line that have any questions. I'm going to encourage you that you would give us a call at area code 312-974-0212. And we'll be more than happy to conversate with you, to pray with you, to touch and agree with you. In the name of Jesus. Amen and glory to God. So, Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this hour of power. We thank you, Lord God, that even right now, Father, that you're with us. And, Father, we ask you for, as the prophetic connection teaching went forth, allow your people, Lord God, to be connected with you, to be able to hear your voice. For you are that connection, God, that we will be able to hear you, follow you, lead us, guide us, direct us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we depart this line, God, give us that unction, that fire, that fresh anointing, that fresh fire, that all things that are old have passed away and everything has become new. And we're pressing into the newness of God. And we thank you, Lord God, for a brighter, brighter day. Oh, yes. No more tears. Brighter day. In the name of Jesus. We just say amen and glory to God. Amen. Amen. I see a few calls that have their hand up. First of all, again, I want to encourage you that give us a call at that telephone number. We'll be more than happy to take your call. For the Lord is blessing me right now. Before we end, Minister Sophia will be coming on, but we're going to play this song. We pray that you're blessed. God bless you all. It's a wonderful time. Good evening, everyone. This is Minister Sophia. I trust that you received the word, the broadcast that just went off, and that you had an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, and that the Scripture says, obey my prophet and so shall you prosper. And I trust that you will do that. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for this opportunity to come to you tonight. And I had said last week that I would start talking about the mysteries of God. But I want to put that off for another week or two and talk to you about the call to intercession. And before I do that, I would like to do a couple of things. I'd like to announce our conference that's coming up next week, April 25th, 26th, and 27th, at the Southfield Suites, Holiday Inn, Southfield Express, Holiday Inn, Southfield, the Southfield Holiday Inn Suites and Express at 25100 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan. Thursday night will be the dinner theater, followed by karaoke. Then all day Friday, and all day Saturday will be class sessions and panel discussions. And each night we will have a speaker. But we thank God and hope that you can make it. We thank God for the opportunity to have this conference. And we trust that you'll be able to make it. We're looking forward to seeing you and we'll be glad to have you. We'll have several books for sale. We'll have an author there who's written several books and he's working, starting on his second, on his third book. He'll be there to sign his books and to he's going to read a couple of passages from his book. We're going to have some wonderful testimonies. How do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We're going to have some wonderful testimonies. We're going to have praise dancers, liturgical dancers. We're going to have banners and streamers and tambourines and praise and worship. It's going to be a wonderful, glorious time. And we're inviting you to come. Bring your dancing shoes.
Bring comfortable clothes to wear. Bring a pad and paper and pencil and ink pen. There's going to be much information given out to help you succeed in your spiritual walk, and particularly those who are intercessors and those who are called to the prophetic ministry, particularly prophets. But it's really for everyone, but if you have those special anointings, we believe that you will glean a lot of information, a lot of things that will help you in your ministry. So please join us once again, April 25th, 26th, and 27th, at the Holiday Inn Express Suites in Southfield, Michigan, 25100 Northwestern Highway. And now, on to the Word. I'm going to be talking tonight about intercession and those who are called to intercession. So you want to be, or are you already an intercessor? Intercession is a challenging yet fulfilling ministry, much needed but much neglected in the church today. For the most part, it is a very behind-the-scenes labor with little recognition and sometimes not a great deal of respect either. Being on the worship team, preaching and teaching and healing the sick and prophesying and evangelizing, all these are doing functions in Christ's body, openly seen and acknowledged. True intercession, on the other hand, frequently remains a closet ministry. What do we mean by that? Usually, in most churches, it's on a weeknight, or it can be during the day. Not many people frequent it. It's not a ministry where you get a lot of accolades and pats on the back. And it's pretty much maybe one night a week at the church or one day a week at the church, and then you pray in your own home. If it is your calling and you desire to do it, know there are times when its invisible nature makes intercession a lonely road to travel. By definition, intercession is an other's first ministry. While non-intercessors can spend the majority of their prayer life focusing on their needs and relationship with the Lord, intercessors have the drive. Understand what I'm saying, saints? The drive to pray about things and people outside themselves. And we are not happy if we aren't doing it. We must take time for our personal relationship with Jesus, just like everyone else. But it is easy to neglect doing so because we feel so pressed for others. I love to spend intimate time with the Lord, but I have to remind myself that it is okay to take that time. The desperate urgency to obtain answers to prayer being so uppermost in my mind. Intercessors are prone to struggling with self-worth because usually we do not see immediate, tangible results for our efforts. Because it is not a visible ministry most of the time, we don't get pats on the back. Sometimes we are even criticized by other people for not doing anything for the Lord. To top it all off, the devil even tempts us with, is it really accomplishing anything? Is prayer really accomplishing anything? Maybe if I didn't pray, this would all work out fine anyway. And I just don't feel that is needed. This demonic jamming of our thoughts, by the way, is because intercession is so important and Satan will do his utmost to derail it. Yet our Father in heaven sees our ministries as essential to the success of the church. Two persons of the Godhead, yes, two persons of the Godhead, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, operate in the ministry of intercession. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he also searches the hearts. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8:34 says, it is Christ who died, yes, and is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. And the Hebrews 7:25 says, he, and he being Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to intercede for them. Now, if two-thirds of the Trinity are involved in intercession, it must be a pretty important ministry. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, and it should be good enough for you. Now, self-denial is a basic requirement for intercessors. The deeper we go in the intercessory life, the more God will confront us with areas of our hearts that we are still holding back for ourselves. What we're saying is he will go into the deep crevices, the back corners of your heart, those little pet things that you hide and you keep to yourselves and you don't tell anyone about. He will expose those to you, and he expects you to do something. Well, what are you saying, Mr. Sophia? I'm saying he will deal with you about your attitude, whatever it may be, toward people, toward your family, toward your job, toward the church, toward the pastor, even toward God. He'll deal with your attitudes. He will deal with, these are just examples, my saints. He will deal with you if you're not walking in forgiveness as you should be. As Mark 11:23-26 says, and I'm sure we all know that if you say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, that you should have what you say if you believe when you pray. Pray forgiving. Forgiving. Saints, forgiving. If you can't forgive the brother or sister, or the man or woman you see, if you can't love them, how can you love God who you don't even see? This is serious, serious business. Those things in your heart, that resentment. Well, how do you walk in forgiveness? Well, as an example, if someone does something to you, immediately before it takes root, you forgive them. What do you say? Well, what I would say is, Lord, I forgive this person for hurting me, for what they did to me. And Father, I forgive myself for not forgiving them. And Father, I receive the Holy Spirit of forgiveness. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to rain down forgiveness in my heart. And I renounce that unforgiveness. And I cast it away from me. Yes, you must walk in forgiveness if you expect to be an intercessor that can reach heaven, an intercessor that can intercede for the needs of the people, an intercessor that can intercede for whatever the Spirit of God has you to intercede for, and break down and open doors and gates and just push back principalities. For Ephesians 6:10 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, 10 and 11. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rules of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, an intercessor will wrestle with those. But to be an effective intercessor, you must not have weights and sins on you. And yes, we do sin. Yes, we do. We all do. But in the terms of an intercessor, they must walk in an atmosphere of humility, an atmosphere of forgiveness, an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere of praise and worship. Now, atmosphere, if you can, and if you can't walk in that kind of atmosphere because you work, then an attitude of prayer, attitude of forgiveness, an attitude of not having attitudes, not having resentment. Walking in love. Again, this is serious, serious business because the Apostle Paul himself, an intercessor, said, I die daily. That's 1 Corinthians 5:31. And this is the testimony of those who embrace intercession in these modern times. As we yield ourselves to the Lord in prayer, He works humility within us, and the refining process is necessary but never fun. Why is intercession necessary? In times long past, Jesus' church understood the importance of prayer and keeping the kingdom of God moving in power. But in recent decades, especially in the American church, prayer has become a neglected ministry. We have come to depend on our education, our marketing skills, and technology to build the body of Christ. As a result, we have seen a sad loss in real power, real salvation, and real biblical Christianity, but an explosion in the number of people joining the churches. We appear to be the Laodicean church, as in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. We say we're increased in goods and we have no need of anything. But the scripture says we are naked and we lack the spiritual things. And because we are lukewarm, He will spew us out of His mouth. But we don't want the Lord to spew us out of His mouth. So, saints of God, Laodicean church, let's rise up and shake off that lethargy and that apostasy and move on and be what God has called us to be. Now, how can this be? This can be through intercession, and we'll talk about that a little later. I believe a great part of the problem is that the church at large has forgotten how to pray. And we no longer have a direct, intimate connection with the God we profess to worship. But fortunately, God is waking up His sleeping people. Fortunately. So the Laodicean church is shaking off her lethargy. He is creating within us a renewed desire for true worship, for intimacy with Him, for signs and wonders like those seen in His word, and for prayer that receives answers. And these are those churches and those people who are praying, who desire a move of God. Well, there will be some big churches who will not, but there are those who are. And those who are, who have an ear to hear what God is saying to them, are arising up out of that lethargy. He is raising up a new army of people to accomplish His purpose in the earth today. And the vanguard of this mighty army is, guess what? The Intercessor Brigade. Intercessory prayer is the machete that cuts paths through the jungles so that our leaders can receive and walk in God's direction. It is the shield that keeps those same leaders from getting plowed under by the enemy's attacks. It opens the way for the gifts of the Spirit to operate freely in the local church. It is the primary force by which revelation is received, disaster is averted, and miracles are acquired. In short, intercessory prayer is the gasoline that propels the church mobile forward. The call to pray. Every Christian should spend consistent time in prayer and Bible reading, and every Christian should pray for others, especially the lost and government leaders. But not all are called to intercession as a ministry. So let's say that all Christians are called to intercede, but not all Christians are intercessors. Yes, intercession is a ministry calling, just as pastoring, teaching, and going to the foreign mission fields callings. There are many ministries in the body of Christ, and those who do not have, and those who do have a special bent for intercession, please do not look down on those who do not. Be careful not to judge others because they don't pray as much as you do. How do I know if I'm called to prayer ministry? People who are meant to be intercessors tend to share some characteristics. If you do not have all of the characteristics or traits that I'm about to mention, That does not mean you are not called to be an intercessor. But having a number of them is a good indicator the intercession is your thing. I'm going to list now several of them. Obviously, number one is desire to pray. And those called to intercession generally have a love for extended times of worship, a longing to spend more than the average amount of time in the Father's presence, and a hunger to hear God speak to them. Intercessors generally have compassion for the needs of others. Intercession is all about praying for others rather than praying for ourselves. Intercession, by definition, is pleading on the behalf of another, negotiating for someone else, acting as a go-between. If you notice that people's needs are important to you, that you feel deep concern for others' troubles, and that asking God to meet these needs is a regular part of your prayer life, intercessory prayer is probably for you. Number three, intercessors may have a keen interest in current events. Yes, that means globally, nationally, regionally, or locally. This is not an across-the-board trait, but will be especially true of intercessors with a bent toward praying for change in the world around them. If you're watching the news on television, online, or reading the newspaper, and you find yourself automatically responding to an event with prayer, you have a strong tendency toward being an intercessor. And intercessors are often quiet, self-contained people. They may appear to be serious in nature, thoughtful, introspective, not social, extroverts. They may not be interested in participating in small talk and social chit-chat. And although these personality traits are common to many of us, people who do not fit this stereotype can still be intercessors. Personality type is the least important indicator of whether you fit the mold. And God uses different types of people in his prayer workforce. If you feel that God is tugging at your heart to be an intercessor, but you do not see yourself as being particularly strong in some of the characteristics that I listed above, that I've read, don't be discouraged. Take up the urge to pray that God is putting in your heart and expect God to strengthen that which is weak. Desire for extended prayer, love of worship, longing to hear God's voice, compassion for others, responding in prayer to current events, all of these can be developed in greater depth in us over time. All it takes is a willingness to be available to God. If you're called to be an intercessor and you're fighting it and you really love God and you're fighting it because you don't think it's a beautiful ministry, it's not on stage, it's not the glitz and the glamour that you desire, but yet you're called to be an intercessor, trust me, my sister, my brother, if you remain in the body of Christ, you will become an intercessor. How do I know? Because desperation will become something that will happen to you, and desperation births intercessors. It will be something that you will have to do. He will work it in you. If you're called to be an intercessor, it's a beautiful ministry. Again, it's not a ministry that you will necessarily be pat on the back for. You might even be ostracized a little bit. But that's okay. Because intercessors are like the Marines. They go in first. They go in tearing down strongholds. They go in praying before the service starts so the pastor can minister freely in the Spirit and that the Spirit of God can work freely in the services, or that God can work freely in people's lives. That's what intercessors do. That's how they pray. And we will go another step further. Now, what do intercessors do? So now you think you're an intercessor. So now, what do you do? You know the need for, you know the need. Why is intercession necessary? You know, if possibility, you are an intercessor. So now let's see, what do you do? There are many types of intercessors, and we all have our own style and method of prayer, as well as our own area of expertise. And some of us are intercessors at large, meaning that we pray about a huge variety of things, from current events spread over a wide canvas to prayer requests we receive through multiple ministry newsletters. Some of us are micro-focused on particular topics. We could compare these two types of intercessors to the general medical practitioner, which is an intercessor at large, and to the doctor who specializes in one particular field of medicine. But both types are needed, and most intercessors start out as general practitioners, and God generally moves them into a specialty all their own. But there are seasoned prayer warriors who never become specialists, and for them this is as it should be. We who are specialists are not more spiritually mature than those who are not. And the two main functions of intercession are to destroy the plans of hell and to establish the plans of God in the earth. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's part of the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And it's that simple, although the details can get quite complicated. Hell trembles when people pray. Prayer is the vehicle that God has chosen to bring about his kingdom in the earth. Sure, we need the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, and the apostles and the prophets, but their ability to get their jobs done rests on the intercessor's ability to break open the way before them, remove hindrances from their paths, and cover them with the protection through our prayers. Micah 2 and 13 gives us a little understanding of the intercessor's function. And it reads, "One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head." That's NIV. Jesus is the breaker, of course, but he is also the intercessor. He gives a breaker anointing to those of us who pray out the things that the Holy Spirit puts on our hearts. Notice that in this verse, the breaker is not tearing down an enemy's fortress walls to get in. He is breaking up hindering gates to get someone out. There are barriers that the demonic world attempts to put around the body of Christ's leaders to keep them from accomplishing God's will. People who are not yet believers are also hemmed in by satanic strongholds, and our prayers are required to break open the way of their spiritual prisons so that they can understand the gospel message and see their need for salvation. Jesus is the chief intercessor. He is the one who leads us in properly praying through these difficulties through the Holy Spirit's guidance in how to pray. In addition to breaking down barriers for our leaders and others for whom we intercede, we cover them with the Lord's protection through our prayers. Now, I'm not sure how it works. I just know that it does. We can claim promises in the Bible such as Psalms 91. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And later through that psalm, it talks about not dashing our foot against a stone. We don't have to be afraid for the arrow that comes at us at noonday or for the pestilence that walk in darkness. And then Psalms 34. There are many other scripture passages to use as God brings them to your mind. What do we protect them from with our prayer covering? Spiritual attacks most often come against the mind and emotions. Feelings of inadequacy, discouragement, wrong mindsets, and distracted thinking. There could also be physical attacks on health, finances, circumstances, and relationships. The enemy tries to block our leaders' ability to hear God speak to them clearly. And a lot of times the intercessors are called not only to pray for various other needs, but to definitely intercede for their pastor or pastors or assistant or associate pastors in the church. So as they come forth during the services, intercession should have gone forth, and not necessarily in the church. It would be good for it to have gone forth in the church, but intercession should go forth on the behalf of those people who bring forth the word of God. They need those strongholds torn down and pulled back and pushed back. So when they minister the word of God, it can get through to the hearer, and they can make a decision. Because now, today is the day of salvation. The devil tries to keep people from understanding God's strategies, thereby nullifying godly actions that should be taking place. These are the gates of hell that we break through with our prayers. Most of our effectiveness in removing these barriers is done through praying in the Spirit in our prayer language, along with direct revelation that God gives us to pray in English. The intercessor's primary function is to pray, not to run their mouth, not to tell everything God's told them, but to pray. But a secondary function is to hear things from the Lord and communicate what we have heard to our church leadership when necessary. This can become a problem area when not handled properly. So the Lord shows you something and you feel it's for you to take it to your leadership. Before you go, you pray. Pray that God would open up a way for you to minister or tell the people in leadership and that they receive it. But you must pray before you go and make sure God is telling you to tell it and not for you to know it and for you to pray about it. Sometimes and oftentimes it's not for you to tell. It's just for you to know and to pray. Now let's talk about prayer specialties. There are many urgent things to pray for: the salvation of our family members, neighbors, city and region, guidance for our government leaders at every level, missionaries connected with our churches, other worthy Christian ministries, people within our own fellowships who are hurting or sick, the abolishing of sins such as abortion and homosexuality and pornography in our nation, our pastoral leadership. The list can go on and on and on, and this list is overwhelming. The list is of overwhelming proportions, just overwhelming. How are we to cover all these topics adequately? How do we keep from burning out with so many things to pray about? How do we find time for intimacy with God, listening for his voice, or even time to pray for our own needs? With all these other things to pray for, do we race through them as fast as possible to get them all done? And if so, is that really sincere prayer? Think about it. The key to fulfilling, guilt-free, effective intercessory prayer is specialization. Not everyone needs to pray on a regular basis for all of the worthy needs that are out there. Now, we have noticed through the years that various people, including nationally known ministry leaders, have sometimes tried to make the rest of us feel bad if we are not daily involved in praying for their focus, their ministry, the thing that God has laid on their hearts. The thing that God has laid on their hearts. God puts particular intercessory needs on particular people's hearts. The problem is that sometimes when we receive a prayer calling from God, we think this is what everyone else should be praying about also. But it doesn't work that way. And when people try to make it work that way, prayer becomes frustrating and boring for those who are dutifully trying to pray out things they have never been called to just because someone told them they must. There are times in our lives when we need to pray for each of the things that I just listed or just spoke about and more, but not all at the same time. God may move upon you during one of your prayer times to pray about abortion. That burden just may not be there the next day. Don't worry about it. God has already called multitudes of other people to pray about abortion every day, and they do it well and at great length is their specialty. Others intercede for hours for the nation and its leaders is their specialty. We can pray. We can all pray at times for these things, but we are not all called to do it in great depth every day. If there is an area that needs prayer, be assured God has it covered. You don't need to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. Intercessors that attempt to do so lose their joy and burn out. Intercessors who attempt to carry the weight of the world on their shoulders lose their joy and burn out. You may be asking, how do I find out what my specialty is? Well, most of us, when first learning to intercede, are going to pray about a wide variety of things. We will pray for our nation and its leaders, for missionaries, for unsaved people groups, for an end to sin in our country, for healings and miracles to take place. Pray about whatever you feel it a leading towards. It is important to wait on God and ask him each day how to pray. He will bring things to your mind and will help you to know how to pray them through. But as time goes on, you will notice that there are some things that get most of your prayer attention than others. Some things will become a delight to pray about. They will capture your thoughts at other moments during the day besides your daily prayer time alone with God. You will find yourself mentioning them to God in short, impromptu petitions here and there. When you notice this happening, it is a good indication that you are starting to move into a prayer specialty. Prayer callings are not all lifetime callings. They may come and go. For a while, your interest may be in one direction, then it may shift to another. When the preoccupation with a particular thing is gone, don't feel guilty. Your part in praying that out may simply be done. Ask God what he wants you to go after next. In addition to whatever your special prayer calling is, you will always have spheres of influence that you alone are responsible for, and you should not neglect to pray for these areas. You can't expect the pastor or Sister Susie to pray your lost loved ones into God's kingdom. Now there may be times when they will agree with you in prayer for your loved ones' salvation. And Sister Susie may even have a week or two when your son Johnny is on her heart in prayer. But when it comes to ongoing faithfulness to pray for your loved ones, it is your personal responsibility. It is the same with your coworkers and other people in your world, in your world. You are the one to pray for them. But don't get into a legalistic running through the names of all your family, coworkers, and neighbors while internally you can't wait to be done praying for them. This is just what Jesus called vain repetition. Matthew 6, verse 7. It would be better to pray for fewer people at a time and to be in sincere prayer for the few you pray for. God will reveal to you which of your neighbors or coworkers he wants to work on right now. Pray for them when they come to mind. Next, we're going to talk about the Bible. The Bible helps our intercession. So now you feel your call. Now you know the need for Now you know because you fit the characteristics. Now you know what intercessors do. You know their two main functions are to destroy the plans of hell and to establish the plans of God on earth. You know that you are to pray hindrances away off people and pray protection on people. You know that as you're beginning to pray, you're finding yourself with a particular area of interest. And that is more than likely God leading you to that area for now. And then the Bible helps our intercession. The Bible helps our intercession. As you notice, we're beginning to emphasize the importance of the word, both in intercession and prophecy. Without being solidly grounded in the Bible, we cannot be the effective intercessors that we are called to be. I have known several people who have tried to receive all their revelation exclusively through hearing from God, through visions or the inner voice. Invariably, this approach ends up in goofiness, no matter how sincere the intercessor may be. Just as Jesus is the intercessor, and Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25, God has also identified him as the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is faithful and true, Revelation 19:11. He said of the scriptures, your word is truth, John 17:17. God has chosen to express Jesus as being synonymous with his word. Therefore, one of the ways we interact with him is through absorbing the Bible. There is no shortcut approach to being effective intercessors. We must be in the word and know it well. Let me repeat that again. We must be in the Word and know it well. Well, what will reading the Scriptures do for your intercession? In order to pray effectively, you must understand the character of God, how he thinks, how he acts, what he is willing to do for you, and how he responds to prayer. The Bible is our primary source for knowing God's character. Additionally, you increase in your understanding of who God is by spending lots of time with him in prayer. The more time you spend in his presence, the better you will know how he operates. The two go together. The word without prayer becomes only an intellectual knowing of God, and prayer without the word makes entrance for wrong perceptions of him. And let me put it another way. All word and no prayer makes you legalistic. All prayer and no word makes you spooky, spiritually spooky. You need the two. There should be a balance in your life. The word without prayer becomes only an intellectual knowing of God. And prayer without the word makes entrance for wrong perceptions of him. You can start interceding now, whether you are familiar with the Bible or not, but you need to get it into your spirit and learn as much as possible, as soon as possible. The more you know of what it says, the better you will be able to pray. If you are weak in knowing key prayer Bible verses, you may want to go to the internet, go to Bible Gateway, print out the scriptures. You may want to buy books that list Bible verses on various topics that are vital to understanding God's character and getting answers to prayer. You can go onto Amazon.com and other, or go to the Bible bookstores and buy Bibles and buy books or even Bibles. There's Nave's Topical Bible. It's a Bible that has various scriptures. It's a thick Bible, and any scripture, any topic you think of, they have put the Bible verses to accompany that topic. Bible time and prayer time. These are the keys to knowing the heart of God. Again, Bible time and prayer time are the keys to knowing the heart of God. Now, here are some other things the Bible will do for your intercession. It will build your faith. As you read specific promises and stories of how God answered the prayers of others in the Bible, you will develop the understanding that God is a yes, answering God, or he is an answering God. I've been told it's either yes, no, or wait. There are many places in the Bible where God clearly says that if we call upon him, he will answer us. It is important to pray the word of God aloud, not necessarily always, because it's not a legalistic rule, but often. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Reading the word will build your faith, but speaking it aloud so that you can hear it will build it more. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number two, it will show you the heart of God so that you can pray according to his will. We can't expect to get yes answers to prayer if we don't understand what things are the will of God and what aren't. 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. The next one is, it will give you God's direction about specific things to pray for. Let me give you some examples of how this has worked. Sometimes, while involved in my regular course of Bible reading, a verse will come particularly to my attention. I find that I am immediately in intercession for whatever comes to mind in connection with that verse. While praying, sometimes God will speak to me a phrase of scripture that he wants me to pray for someone. I may not even know where to find it in the Bible, but I can look it up in a concordance or go online. I find the verse and begin to pray it out, claiming it as a promise that applies to the person or situation I am already praying about. It will keep you anchored in truth. The Bible will keep you anchored in truth. Intercessors tend to be prophetic. And prophetic people need to be firmly anchored in God's truth, or they become a little wacky. You don't want to be praying or prophesying bizarre things. Keeping up a solid Bible reading life will keep you from hearing, and praying weird stuff. The word of God is one of the weapons of our warfare, mentioned in 2 Corinthians 10:14. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, soulish, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It is part of the spiritual armor Paul talks about in Ephesians 6:17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is a mighty weapon in receiving our prayer answers. God loves it when we quote his word to him in the process of pleading our case. It's not that he doesn't know what he has written and needs to be reminded, or that he doesn't want to do things for us and only begrudgingly gives in because we prove to him that he is legally bound to do so. No. God loves his own promises and longs to fulfill them. He wants us to know what is ours in Christ It is our benefit. We also need to, quote, plead and declare his word as a means of defeating the powers of darkness and forcing them to take their fingers off of whatever we are praying about. They are the ones that need to be reminded of what is legally ours. It is not that we don't already know either, but they are hoping we don't know. Defeating the powers of darkness. Always remember that we are not contending with God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us that we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't need to wrestle our requests out of God's unwilling hands. Martin Luther stated, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of God's willingness. When you are interceding, pray the scriptures, open your Bible, find the verses that apply. Lay your hands on them and ask God to perform what he has said. Tell him you know you are on good ground in asking. Tell hell it must back off and let go based on what God's word says. Take a firm stand of faith on the word and don't let go. You will see results. Jesus said, scripture cannot be broken. John chapter 10, verse 35. He means every word of what he has said, and you can count on the integrity of the Bible. It's a rock solid. And just briefly, the power of your prayer language. Well, saints of God, I don't believe I have time to get into that. And perhaps maybe we will get into this. We will eventually cover the mysteries in the Bible. That's a fascinating study. There are mysteries in the Bible. But I just thought I would like to share this teaching with you tonight. There might be intercessors out there, or people who believe they're called to intercessory prayer. There's so much more we could say about intercession. But tonight, we just gave you Intercession 101. And as our time is coming to an end, I would like to offer up salvation, offer to you salvation. If there's anyone out there under the sound of my voice who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we offer him to you. Now is the time. If not now, when? Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Or if you're young and you're listening and you say, I got plenty of time, there are just as many short graves as there are long graves. There are just as many old people as there are young people. And Jesus is coming soon. When is he coming for you? When is he coming for me? I don't know. But one day he will come for us. For some sooner than later. So now is the time to accept him. And if you want to accept him, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I accept the Lord Jesus in my heart. I believe that he is the Son of God, born of a Virgin Mary, that he died and he rose again, and he's forever living and seated on the right hand of God the Father. I receive my salvation. I confess my faults and my sins to him, and I accept him in my heart as my Lord and Savior. And if you've done this, praise God, as simple as that, and mean it with your heart, and then go tell someone that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then find a Bible-believing church and get baptized. Oh, Father God, we thank you for tonight, oh Lord, and we pray that we've said something that would cause the people on the line to hear and to, if they're called to intercession, Lord, that they will stand up and acknowledge it, and that they will be busy about doing what God's called them to do. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for being able to minister this word to them and minister the word over the airways. And, God, we thank you for our freedom, the freedom to do so. with our persecution, oh God. And Father God, we thank you and we just bless you and we give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Again, we'd like to invite you to our conference next week, April 25th, 26th, and 27th at the Holiday Inn Express, 25100 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan. Until we meet again, saints, be blessed.
Somebody shout hallelujah to the King tonight. Church, are you ready to take back all that the enemy has stolen? Reclaim the systems of this world, for the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. How can we walk around and tell them, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back? Tonight, Father, we reclaim the mountains. We go forth in the power and authority. Come on, let's see, lift it down. Say, can you hear?
Can you hear the call of the warrior? Can you feel the courage inside?
Now's the time.
Now's the time to put on your armor. Now's the time.
Say, can't you hear?
Can you hear the call of the warrior? Can you feel the courage inside?
Now's the time.
Can you hear it?
Hallelujah. Good night, everyone.